If I was to tag us this sermon with a title this morning, it is, Jesus is Still Making House Calls. The scripture verses we have heard in our reading is telling the story of Jesus' earlier ministry from the Gospel of Luke's perspective. This same story is also told in the Gospel according to Matthew and Mark. Each tells it in its own way. Luke tells it from a physician's point of view because he's a doctor. Luke, who is Greek, is speaking to other Greeks. Knowing the Greeks are great philosophers and intellects who study and seek all that they learn with detail, wanting to know each and every part of it. Luke presented the gospel, the good news of Christ, in great detail for that reason. He knows his audience. Of the four gospels, the gospel according to Luke is the longest. Luke is careful to give details so other Greeks reading it would not be left wandering or debating about the ministry of Jesus Christ. In this chapter 4, we hear that Jesus has been led. It begins with Jesus being led into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days, tempted by Satan 3 times, first with food, then with the kingdom of dominion, and then the power of wanting great power. On all 3 accounts, Jesus used the power of God's word to rebuke every attempt Satan tries to trick him with. We too are given the authority to rebuke Satan with the word of God. That's why knowing the word of God is so important. You see, the word of God has the power to stop demons in their tracks. The word of God has the power to open doors. The word of God has the power to calm troubled minds. I rebuke that demon right now. The word of God has the power to give life unto dead situations. After leaving the wilderness, Jesus' first season of testing was over. He had demonstrated to Satan that his reign over God's people was over. God had sent his only begotten son that whosoever received him would not die. But just as important, Satan would not have power over his people any longer. Jesus leaving the wilderness filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, where the word that he was preaching was moving all over the land. Jesus, who had lived up to this point as the carpenter's son, is now on his journey, his assignment from God. He is teaching in all the synagogues with power, and everyone is recognizing the Spirit of the living God and the power that came through him. Jesus, always doing things in respect, went back to his hometown, Nazareth. He went into the synagogue to worship with his neighbors and his family. He read from the Torah, the book of Isaiah, where it had been foretold of his coming and his purpose. The word says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set liberty them that are bruised, to teach the acceptable word of the Lord." Jesus was acknowledging his ministry and his call, first to his own, but as the scripture had been written according to the prophet Isaiah, his own received him not. In fact, they chased him out of town, attempting to stone him to death. Not so much has changed. When we are Christians, when we have accepted Christ and been transformed by the word of God, our own family and friends will come up against us. They'll say things like, "I remember when you used to be." They'll say things like, "I know how you used to act." They'll say things like, "I know what you used to do." Very seldom is the first reaction to your transformation is, "Thank God for blessing my sister. Thank God for blessing my brother. Thank God for saving my son." They'll talk about where you used to go and what you used to do, not looking at the transformation power of Jesus Christ. In fact, the people closest to you will call you out. They'll be the ones to try to provoke you into saying stuff that is not godly. But I want you to know, not recognizing that you have been transformed, that daily we are going through a transformation. Our salvation is complete from the moment we accept Jesus. But we are being changed daily as we accept the ways of Christ through prayer, through meditation, through the reading of God's word. They are too so quick to say, oh, this is the saved one walking around talking about God. Never mind they have allowed Satan to use them to trick you. Never mind they are still living wrong themselves, doing whatever they please, but not trying to make you feel bad for loving God. Jesus is on his way, and he takes his leave. Not only does he take his leave, but he knocks the dirt off of his feet and kept moving right on with purpose and with power. You see, he was on a mission. Jesus kept right on teaching with power in the synagogues on the Sabbath. While he was teaching, a man came possessed by a demon, and Jesus called that demon out, refusing to let the demon tell who Jesus really was. The people were amazed, but this was only the beginning. Now in our scripture verse, we have heard in our reading, that 38th verse, it says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to preach to the poor, to set the captives free, was being asked by his newly appointed disciples, Peter, Andrew, John, and James, to please have a look at Peter's mother-in-law, who had a high fever. In this region, there were three kinds of fever a person could have had. The first fever was called a Malta fever, which is accompanied with symptoms such as weakness and anemia and wasting away. There was a second kind of fever, an intermittent fever, which is similar to what we know as typhoid fever. That third fever was called malaria, which is brought on by mosquitoes. Luke, being a physician, used a word that means violent fever. This suggests that it was a very serious illness, one that could not easily be do away with, that they needed the power of Jesus because it could have led to death. Jesus never said a word. He walked into the room and he stood over her and he rebuked the fever out of her body. There's all kinds of fever. Today we associate fever with affections of some kind. You know, there's some doctors and there's some nurses in here. The definition of infection, according to Webster, is a contamination such as bacteria or germs that can enter the body, take up residence in the bloodstream, causing fever and other related symptoms. But Dr. Jesus was called in on the case. You see, there's some other kind of infections too, and they can take many forms. It's not always a bodily contamination. It can also be a mind contamination. There can be an infection of wrong choices. There can be an infection of wrong attitude. There can be an infection of wrong motives. There can be an infection of pride. We can get so caught up, but the book of Proverbs says that pride goes before the fall. You see, infection is a contamination that comes in and causes fever. When the fever of wrong choices take a hold of us, our lives can be turned upside down. We can't figure it out, and we can't get it back right side up. When an infection of wrong attitudes take over, we act out in ways that will block our blessing, and we can destroy all that we have worked so hard for. There's also an infection of wrong motives that can cause the window of opportunity to close in our face. It can cause people who would have extended a helping hand to walk away from us. It said that attitude will determine your altitude. Here we have Jesus coming into Peter's house that he might lay. He didn't even lay hands on her. He just spoke and the fever was gone. Here Jesus arrived on the scene just in time to give aid to Peter's mother-in-law. He goes into her and rebukes the fever, and it leaves her body, and immediately she gets up and begins to wait on them. You might say to yourself or the person sitting next to you, what does this have to do with me? Well, I want to tell you this morning, this same Jesus, the Son of God, who for 3 years walked in flesh as the Son of Man for more than 2,000 years ago, preaching, teaching, healing the sick, and giving sight to the blind, healing those with broken hearts and those that were captive, he set them free. He's still here today. The Spirit of the living God is very much with us today. Jesus is still making house calls.
We may not have Malta fever or typhoid fever or fever from malaria, but there's some other fevers that will wreck your world. There's fevers that will begin with an infection and will take a debilitating form and cause us to miss our blessings. There are some fevers that come into our lives and cause us trouble with our finance, troubles with our children, troubles with our spouse, trouble with our peace of mind, but Jesus is still making house calls. Ask your neighbor, is there a fever in your life today? As I read through this scripture, I noted that Peter, Andrew, James, and John interceded on behalf of Peter's mother-in-law. Sometimes the fever, the sickness can be so overwhelming that we need somebody to intercede on our behalf. We need somebody to go prostrate before the Lord, seeking the healing touch that can only come from the Lord. This past week, Mount Olive Baptist Church had its vacation Bible school, and I had an opportunity to sit in a couple of nights, and I was able to walk away with, we have to learn how to forgive. You see, that can be a fever and an infection in your body. Unforgiveness will break you down over time. I learned that you have to learn how to pray. You got to know how to go before the Lord and bring your petitions before him. I learned that you have to go before the Lord and intercede on behalf of others and recognize that they might be sick. They just might have a fever. Do you know anybody with some fever today? They might have a fever of depression. It might be a fever of confusion. They might have fever of weakness. You see, Jesus is still making house calls. The word says that we have not because we ask not. Have you ever been around someone so sick with a fever that they're confused, that they're delirious as the fever tries to take them over? If the fever gets too high, they'll start talking out of their head, saying things that don't even make sense. Remember, Jesus is still making house calls. You see, Peter, Andrew, James, and John knew that Jesus was a healer. Not only was he a healer, but he could call out demons. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you or someone in your house is sick with fever, remember that Jesus is still making house calls. We have the authority to go to God in prayer. We have the authority to intercede before the Lord on behalf of others. We have the authority to call those demons out in the name of God. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Speak those things that are not as though they were. Know that the God you serve is able to rebuke whatever fever is in your life. Call out those demons that are trying to overtake you. Know that God will hear your prayer. I want you to hear this today. Know that the Son of God is interceding on your behalf. Know that God, the Holy Spirit, is standing up for you, directing you and speaking for you. But you got to know what to say. That's when the word is so important. You got to know the word of God if you're going to speak to God. God, the Holy Spirit, takes every groan and translates it into a prayer that speaks to our needs. So even if you don't know what to say, if you just groan a little bit, oh, God, if you just help me today. Oh, God, I need you today. The Holy Spirit will take that groan and say, Lord, they need you today. They're sick today, oh, God. There's a fever in their house today, oh, God. Come see about your children today. Jesus is still making house calls. Will you call upon the name of Jesus and trust him to rebuke those infections that have could be a deadly fever? You see, life happens to everyone. No one is exempt. You can be going along minding your own business and Satan will show up and try to start some confusion. But you got to remember that Jesus is still making house calls. The story doesn't end there. After Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, she got up and she served them. You see, when Jesus come in and heals whatever ails you, he'll give you the strength and the power to get up immediately and be about your father's business. Peter's mother-in-law didn't lie around in bed. She got up and she got busy. Satan don't want us to acknowledge our healing from God and be a witness to others. So he'll tell us, don't do this and don't do that. But Peter's mother-in-law, she got up and she looked to Jesus. And because she got up, others were healed. Because you see, in those last two verses that we here heard in our reading, it says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. And laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. People waited until the Sabbath was over. But I'm so glad today we don't have to wait because Jesus is still making house calls. They waited because the law said that it shall be no healing on the Sabbath. But Jesus says, "I am the Sabbath. Find rest in me." You see, Jesus is still making house calls. You see, we don't want to wait. We don't have to wait to call upon Jesus. We can call upon him no matter what time of day it is, no matter what time of night it is, in the midnight hour, when you're struggling, when you're sick, when you're troubled in your mind. If all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's your beginning and he's your end. You see, Jesus, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. You see, Jesus, that bright and morning star. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come see about me, Lord. Jesus, come see about my children, Lord. Jesus, come see about my husband, Lord. Come see about my wife today, God. Jesus, come see about my mother. Come see about my father. Jesus, the Son of the living God. Jesus, Savior and Redeemer. Jesus, oh Jesus, because of you, God, I can be made whole again. Jesus, oh Jesus, I need you today. Jesus, you promised, Lord, that you'll never leave me, not forsake you. You see, Jesus is bigger than your problem. Oh, Jesus is stronger than any sickness you might have. You see, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, HIV, AIDS, Jesus is a healer. Jesus is greater than any sin you might have committed. Jesus is higher than any pain, any weakness, or any shame. You see, Jesus is greater than bills, greater than doubt, or any loneliness. Jesus, oh, Jesus. Jesus is still making house calls. Jesus, oh Jesus, how I love calling your name. Oh Jesus, why don't you invite Jesus into your life today, into your house today? He can do anything but fail. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's happening. Jesus is bigger than whatever it is. He's stronger than whatever it is. I don't know what your situation might be today. I came to tell you that life happens when you call upon the name of Jesus. We serve a God who can change any situation, who can answer any prayer. Sickness and death has no power over him. Jesus, oh Jesus, how I love calling upon the name of Jesus. I tell you today, all you got to do is seek his face and he'll come to your aid. You may not want to do it, but Jesus is your answer. I'm telling you today, that name has power in it. I know it's true. I've seen him work, not just in me. I've seen him work in people right here in Mount Olive. They call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus. I want you to say it. Say, Jesus. 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 Jesus, I need you today. Jesus. Whatever the situation is, Jesus, I need you today. Jesus, help me today, God. Jesus. Jesus is still in the healing business. There is nothing that Jesus can't do. I know it's true. He can heal a broken heart. He can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. You start looking around trying to figure out, why am I at peace when my world is falling down? But Jesus, just at the name of Jesus, if you just call upon his name, he can make it all right. I'm not telling you that sickness will not come, but I'm telling you that Jesus has the power over sickness. We all have to go through some things because, as it was said earlier, we're in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living. But you need Jesus to help you to make your way. If you just call on the name of Jesus. Is there anyone here today that don't want to call on the name of Jesus, but the Lord has touched your heart, and now you know I got to call on the name of Jesus. If I call on him, he'll make it all right.